This is The Blitz.
Hour number two of The Blitz is live on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Rick Butler, Brandon Orick, and Weston Brown hanging out with you for one more hour. And we pretty much won't change the conversation from anywhere it's been the whole first hour so far.
Yeah.
This is pretty much all Tennessee, Alabama, and I feel like we're not even halfway done talking about everything we need to talk about.
So I want to know, I know it's still early, but what are the early results on the poll that you just put
up? On this poll, okay. So we just put up a poll in the field, and I'm going to ask the same question later in the week. As of today, the Monday after game day, assuming Maurer cannot compete this Saturday versus South Carolina, who would you rather have as your starting quarterback, Jarrett Garantano or JT Shrout? Did you vote?
I did.
What was your vote?
JT Shrout.
Weston, did you vote?
I did not vote, but definitely JT Shrout.
And I voted as well for JT Shrout. So I think we're all in agreement for starters that, hey, and look, I'm going to say this. I don't believe that JT Shrout is going to be great. I don't even know if he's going to be good. I mean, Brandon just said in the break.
I fully expect him to be bad.
Yeah. I mean, you just said, like, hey, I know he's on the roster, and we want him to do well, and we want him to compete, but there are other things you got to look at, and he was not highly touted out of high school. He had one other Power 5 scholarship offer, and that was Cal, who's not very good either. So I think that we have to understand what or where our expectations should be for JT Shrout, because we all believe that JT Shrout, you know, should be the starter on Saturday. Or at least I guess the three of us do, and I'll get to the percentages in a sec, but yeah, the percentages do as well. But I do think that you have to manage your expectations for what JT Shrout is going to be. He's not going to come in and kind of set the offense afire or ablaze like Maurer did. Maurer was special in that kind of way because I think that he is a significantly better quarterback than anyone else you have on the roster. So I think that we're all in agreement that let's start Shrout if Maurer can't go. But guys, we gotta really tamper our expectations. A lot of people are saying, hey, you know, throw the kid out there, let's see what he's got. Well, I agree, but don't expect, in my opinion, too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect him to go out there and perform and kind of come in and like you said, have that
Maurer effect.
Yeah, and just kind of kickstart the offense. But I do think, like I said in the first hour, I think that JG, I don't know if he lost the team, but I think most of the team is probably out on JG. And like I said, this is what I believe. I don't know where your thoughts are on that one, on that play. I think he went rogue. I think it was a called run, and I think he tried to sneak it. I don't think you can convince me otherwise. Why else would Trey Smith pull? Why else would you have Crouch in the game?
Well, for starters, I don't like that. Like, to me, I was having this debate with a couple of my friends on Saturday night, and that was before we got a lot of the, you know, the story come out. This is specifically just after the press conference. So we were texting about this in the middle of the press conference. And they, you know, and I was trying to defend that, you know, what Pruitt was saying, and I was just saying, hey, you know, I think it was a sneak call. And they were saying, well, then why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? And I was like, hey, I still think that those are wrong. I don't think that Crouch should be your goal line back. You have Tim Jordan and Ty Chandler who have been going nuts on,
especially the way that Tim Jordan been running it. And
right,
we have not mentioned that Tim Jordan running back number one. I think he's making a push to take Ty Chandler's spot for RB1.
You got three ballers for your running backs. That's all I can say. Three ballers. So I was having this argument, and I was like, well, you know, he was like, well, why was Crouch in? And I was like, yeah, why was he in? I don't know. I don't like that play. Like, I don't love it. And eventually, I did flip my tune to, all right, you know what? After seeing everything that's been coming out, it probably was a run, and it looks like JG probably did call his own number, right? For whatever reason, I don't know what he saw, because the linebacker came right into the gap, and he was, there was nobody for him. There was literally not a soul who was going to block him. But at the same time, like, I still hold the same opinions in that, I don't know, like, to me, Crouch shouldn't be in right there. You should put some of your running backs in. I didn't like it. And there were lots of aspects of that play I didn't like, regardless if it was a sneak, if it was a run, if Garantano went rogue, which I'll say it on the record right now. Yeah, okay, I believe he did. I believe he certainly called himself a sneak there. I don't know what the play was. I don't know if he had options to pick between what the plays were going to be.
Obviously, he did not.
Yeah. But I'll say that. The sneak shouldn't have happened, and I don't think it was originally a true and true called sneak. But regardless, I didn't like how that play was lined up. I didn't like anything about it.
Well, whether you like it or not, and I mean, I'm not particularly a fan of having Crouch in there. I'd like you said, I'd much rather have Tim Jordan or Ty Chandler. But regardless, I think, like you said, I think JG calls his own number. I think at that point, not telling the team, I mean, first of all, not telling anybody that you're going to do it. I mean, but I think you lose the respect of your teammates. I think they probably hold some not so swell feelings about JG after the game, if I had to guess. I know I would. If I was on that team and I had a chance to pull within one score of Alabama on the road, prime time, and your quarterback calls his own number, I'm going to be a little upset with him.
Not only calls his own number,
but executes it so poorly.
But just dismay of execution. And then for them just to take it and run it 105 yards.
That is the Tennessee way. It was the Tennessee way.
But the thing was, it was like a never-ending play. You know? It was just like, oh God, he's sneaking it. Oh, my God, he fumbled it. Oh, my God, we got to wait for this guy to run all the way down the field. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. When we were watching that, right, we were at our apartment, Weston, and Brandon and I were sitting there on the couch, and that play happened, and I don't know if Brandon said a word for the next 6 or 7 minutes. I looked, like, I was screaming and yelling. I was angry. I was ready to punch a hole in the window.
I don't get mad
and
anymore.
And I look over, and Brandon was just...
I mean, what can you do? There's nothing to do.
Stone cold. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
We've lost him.
He's gone. He has exited his body. His soul is who knows where. His body is unoccupied. The lights are off in the house. I was worried. I was like, oh, no.
Astral projecting all over the living room.
Brandon's whole world stopped there.
But like I said at the end of last hour, and this is where I kind of want to take the conversation.
Sure.
And I want to get other people's thoughts. Mike on Twitter, he just said this. He said a lot of people were out on Pruitt for the start of the seasons and quarterback and the handling of the quarterback position. A lot are back on board, including me. But he loses a lot of fan equity if he trots JG out there ever again.
I was just about to read that tweet.
No, sorry.
Look, I had it pulled up right here. I was replying to it.
Yeah, well, I beat you to it. But
it's a great question to ask.
Yeah, and I would agree.
Thanks,
Mike. And I mean, I told y'all, I said it before the season started. I said if he loses to Vanderbilt or Kentucky, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm out on him. He's not going to be the guy. He will not cut it here. And then you lose the season opener to Georgia State, and I said it. I was out. I was out on Pruitt. There's nothing that he can do. But judging from ever since the bye week, after the Florida game, there's been it's been a different team. And we said, I mean, they've kind of been playing with their backs against the wall. I think Pruitt's done a nice job of getting this team to play. And outside of the quarterback position, and I mean, but when Maurer, besides Maurer, I think that, I mean, especially the offensive line, I mean, I think they've played extremely well. I think the running backs are running the ball extremely well. I mean, you were imposing your will. When Tennessee went down and they had the ball on the goal line, that entire drive when they marched down the field, we were running it down Alabama's throat. Think about that.
They couldn't stop it.
Think about that. And I know that Alabama's defense is not the elite caliber that they have
right,
been in
years
past.
Right, it's their offense this year.
But still, you were imposing your will, running the ball down Alabama's throat on that drive. So, I mean, I think credit to Will Friend, credit to David Johnson, and credit to the defense. The defense has been playing extremely well the past couple of weeks. And I go back to the George game, you were just totally outmatched. You couldn't stop the running game. Okay. They played lights out last week, and they played exceptionally well on Saturday. And I like where it's headed, and I'm not afraid to admit it. I'll say it. I'll say I was wrong. I'm willing to give Pruitt another chance. I'm like Mike said. I'm back in.
Yeah.
I think, and I saw somebody say this on Twitter the other night during the game, but I agree with it 100%. I think Pruitt became a Tennessee Volunteer on Saturday.
Hey, yeah, I gained a ton of respect for Jeremy Pruitt. I think all throughout the game you could see how bad he wanted to win this game. You know, and you know what? You can see that, hey, I actually believe Tennessee was very well prepared for this game. And it's tough. That was a tough environment. That crowd was rocking. They had their stupid light show.
Stupid lights. If I ever have to see those stupid lights again, I'll puke.
Well, you will. You'll be watching the Alabama LSU game. So you will see him, and we'll make sure you have a trash can ready. But yeah, you know, I really gained a lot of respect for Pruitt over the weekend. You know, and there's still things that he's said in the past that confuses me. There's still things that he does that confuses me. But I really do believe that I gained a lot of respect. But also to Mike's credit, he's right. You know, a lot of people were out. A lot of those people are back in. I do believe that if Garantano is the starting quarterback that they roll out there Monday, especially if it's unexpected, right? And the first thing we hear about a starting quarterback is when number two runs out onto the field versus South Carolina, I think you're going to have a lot of people who are ticked beyond belief. Which is why I think that dang it. I read a tweet in the middle of my sentence. I totally lost my train of thought.
Wow.
Help me out here.
Every something. I don't know where you're going with it.
Every.
But you can't.
I don't know.
You can't. I don't see how they can run JG back out there. I mean, Pruitt tore into him.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a problem with that? Oh, this would be, I know that's a very simple question, but a lot of people on the internet did.
With him chewing him out?
With the way that he approached Garantano right after that fumble.
No,
he pointed at him, he shook his finger, he kind of, you know, pulled his face mask a little bit. It was definitely, you know, it was intense. What did you think?
I had no problem with it. Spare me.
I'm going to be honest, I didn't even realize that it was going to be a big deal. Until
I knew it would be a big deal because everybody, you can't touch the face mask. First of all, he barely touched it. He grabbed it with like two fingers, pulled it down.
Did you see what I think it was Jimbo Fisher did?
Yeah, it was against Arkansas.
Hey, and people want to complain about Pruitt. I'm going to be honest. I'm more on the side that it's all right for Fisher to do that, right? Like I think that, you know, but I also think like there's a thing with, you know, knowing the relationship between those two guys that none of us know, right? If a stranger, a random man, came and yanked my hair on the streets, it'd be a big problem, right? But, like, if I did something wrong and some kind of mentor figure in my life, right, somebody like my dad or somebody I've known for a really long time in my life, if you know, they were kind of pointing their finger at me and something like that, like,
Like Bear.
Yeah. If you have no. If you have the relationship built up like that, right? Like I think that that completely changes the story. Right? And I believe that that's what happened. I believe that there's really kind of no story to this. Even though a lot of people tried to make it one. I believe this is a no story. I believe that it shouldn't be.
I got no problem.
It's fine. It's fine. And you know what? If you were the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers and your quarterback did that too, you might have some choice words or actions as well.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. No problem.
We have many people on our poll who are going with option number C, which is not there, Juwan Jennings.
Many people are saying. Many people.
Many people are saying. Weston, you had a you had an interesting thought about the quarterback situation.
Yeah. So I think you run with Shrout, or you let him run with the ones this week in practice. Just see what he can do. If, you know, by Thursday he's not looking well, you might look at Jennings or it's got to be either him or Jennings. I mean, even if Garantano's better than both of them, you can't trot him back out or he's going to lose the fan base that he just got back. So I think on Saturday you trot Shrout out there. Give him 20 attempts. Let him go. I think he's very capable of going 11 for 20, 12 for 20. You know, throw a pick in there. He'll probably throw a pick. But, I mean, if he can game manage and throw Jennings in with the Wildcat, a few read options, maybe some short read plays, and run the ball.
Some RPOs.
Yeah, run the ball, and that'll probably be enough to get the win.
Yeah, I think that you do have an opportunity, and I think that you'll need to take advantage of this opportunity to run the Wildcat a little bit. And Weston's right. You may even throw in some RPOs in there. Yeah. Some plays where Juwan can have the distinction between if he wants to run the ball himself, if he wants to throw it. But I think we also saw something from Juwan Jennings last night or on Saturday night. He had that it was the missed catch that turned into an interception, right? And that was early in the game, I believe.
Yeah, that was the one that set up their score. Or no, the one that that was right before we picked them off again.
Yeah.
It was early in the game.
Yeah. So Brian Maurer interception, because it was right there, right? That was with about 10 minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was very early.
And so I think that once that play happened, you could tell that, you know, Juwan was going to become unglued this game and really have an impactful game. And I think that he did. He finished with 6 receptions for 66 yards, which, you know, to me, I thought he had more yards than that. But I think that the 6 catches that he had were so crucial. Because you could tell, whether it was Maurer, whether it was Garantano, or even, I'm trying to remember what Shrout did on his one passing attempt. But you could tell, like, those guys were looking for Juwan because you could just see how much he wanted it. Like, I think we all know Juwan, and I'm not doing any breaking news. Like, I'm not, nor am I convincing anyone that Juwan Jennings is a dog and he's going to be one of the greatest Tennessee football players of this generation, one of the biggest bright spots, or of this decade, really. But, man, I think he was so important for you this week. I think he was massive.
He should have had about 110 yards on a touchdown.
Yeah. The one thing that I would like to see more is, God, can we not get Marquez Callaway more targets? I know that they probably, I don't know if they had their best coverage man on him. But ultimately, you know, I'm trying to look at, he's had 14 receptions this year. He's averaging 2 a game. Marquez Callaway averaging 2 receptions a game.
You gotta find a way to
that's
get the ball.
That's really the biggest complaint I have with the offensive scheme right now. Are we really not finding him any more touches? Any more balls? He had 37 targets last year. We'll catch a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. If you would like to join in on the conversation today, phone lines are wide open. 865-546-8200, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It was truly hard to watch the ending of that game. Luckily for us, though, it's not that hard to talk about it. We got much more of that coming up on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Two receptions a game average for Marquez Callaway. Your senior wide receiver. I'm dumbfounded by it. And it's something that, like, it's something that we've talked about a little bit every single week. Like, man, I really hope we get Callaway involved this game. Or, man, let's see if Callaway can get some more targets. Because you know what he does with those targets? He makes them worthwhile. But it's mind-boggling to me. Absolutely, just, I don't even get it.
Yeah, I mean, when you have subpar quarterback play, I mean, it's tough to get the ball to your receivers.
No touchdowns on the year so far. He has three touchdowns on the year so far. Excuse me, I was reading the column the wrong
way. Have you been reading all the columns wrong? Does he have more than this?
He has 14 receptions on the year.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Three touchdowns.
Let's go over to the next door home group hotline. Let's get a call from Zach. What's up, Zach?
What do you say, Brandon?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
How are you, Rick, doing today?
Doing pretty good, man.
I just landed, so I missed half the show. I'll have to go back and listen, too, so I haven't got to hear.
It's been a barn burner.
Well, I've just got a couple of points. Number one, it renewed my hate towards them after I got done watching that game.
Yes.
Alabama.
My God, yeah. Yes.
They'd always been kind of, you know, they always win, and it's kind of, you know, I always hated Florida growing up, but I tell you what, after that game, they moved like at the top one for me, smoking them cigars in the stadium.
And how about ESPN doing it as well? A bunch of corny bandwagon sellouts, ESPN.
Yeah, they didn't help either. And, you know, Todd McShay, I didn't even know he called games, actually, to be honest. And, you know, he's up there yucking it up, and, you know, the female reporters over there, you know, yucking it up too, and, you know. So that's number one. I sure do hate them. Can't wait for them to lose. Second thing is, I'll take a little bit of a different stance with Jared Garantano.
Okay.
You know, it's like me. Let's say that, you know, I'm of age, and I go walk on the, you know, UT, and I play, and I'm like, you know, hey, I want to play quarterback. I'm Zach. And they put me out there.
Okay.
Well, is that my fault that I suck? Isn't that on the coaches? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the kid can't play. We know that, right? So instead of bashing him, you know, and I get it. I mean, he's not a good football player, but the majority of the reps at the beginning of the season, this is your guy. This is your starter. And, you know, people always say, well, fans don't know. Come on. You could see JG. Phil had been talking about it for a year that he's not the guy. So, you know what I'm saying? Why keep trotting him out there? You're doing it to yourself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I'm going to be honest. I felt like you were going with a totally different position when you started that. But once you wrapped it up, I totally understand what you're saying, right? Because, you know, you're right, right? Like, there is a ceiling for when number two is out on the field. There is absolutely a ceiling, and we all know that it's there. And so, you know, it's so hard when you get to a position where you have to put him in because you know that, hey, he's not going to be great, right? But then to then add on to the fact that he's not a good quarterback, to then add on the boneheaded decision of calling his own number, which is not confirmed. That's just what everyone, you know, really thinks is true, and I think that we're right in believing that's true. To be not good, but then to go out and make that decision is just, it's so upsetting. It's so hard to believe that that really happened.
I mean, the kid's no good. I mean, I knew that when I played basketball when I was young. I was, you know, I mean, I thought I was good, but, I mean, I couldn't barely jump 2 inches. I mean, he's got the athletic ability, but he doesn't have, he's not a college quarterback at all. So you know, I guess we don't have any choice because Maurer got hurt. But my thing about it is, if we're backing up all the way to the season, Maurer should have been your starter to begin with. I mean, that's just a clear cut, you know, you can see it right there on the screen. That's what's so frustrating to me.
Yeah.
But I'll let y'all go. All right. See ya.
I appreciate the call, Zach. But
yeah,
what I wanted to say was to Zach's point there at the end, where he's talking about where Maurer should have been the starter all along. That to me goes like you said it goes back to the coaching. Like if it's that obvious, like I don't know.
And the thing about it is, like, I don't know what happened. I would love, you know, maybe a couple years down the road. Like, I would love to know the story of
the 2019
truly, well, this, well, really, yes, the 2019 season, but really the offseason leading into it, right? Because I wonder how well Garantano, you know, was practicing, or I wonder how well he had an offseason. Because ultimately, you know, you do kind of look back at some of the quotes they said, and at the beginning of the season they said, if you've been with us this offseason, you know who our best quarterback is. And maybe Garantano is practicing great, and it really did look like he was the best quarterback, because you know what you had last year. You know, some people, very much including myself, I will say that might be my biggest miss ever, is thinking that Garantano was going to be such a shut up. It's such a head and shoulders improvement this year, right? Maybe it was right when he got into the game season, it all fell apart. I don't know what the true story is. Maybe he was terrible the whole time, and they never felt like they could have gone away from their, you know, their junior or senior starter or whatever at this point. I'd love to know eventually down the road of truly what the decision-making process was in terms of your quarterback. Because let's not forget.
Truly.
Yeah. Let's not forget they didn't even have a second string at the beginning of the season. They didn't even have a backup assigned. Garantano came out for the game when the stupid BYU player chucked his shoe 10 yards into the crowd like an idiot. Let's not forget that happened at some point this season. And Garantano had to come out for a play, and you didn't even know who was going to go in. You didn't have a backup quarterback assigned. Why? And I know this is all coming after we all just said that we're back in on Jeremy Pruitt. Which is funny to me.
Yeah, just stop. Stop where you're at.
And I don't want to, like, take people away from Jeremy Pruitt right now, because I do believe that there are significant improvements. But there is such an intrigue and such a mystery to what happened this season and this offseason and what happened at the beginning of the season. I am so intrigued by it, because there was some sort of disaster that must have happened.
Winky.
Yeah, who's paying that guy?
He's got to be gone, what, right?
What's he doing? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Maurer looks good, though. I mean, I don't know. I think you got to reserve judgment and wait and see.
I think
you give him another year. I definitely think you give him another year, especially with Harrison Bailey coming in here. But I don't know. I mean, everybody was saying the same thing about Will Friend last year, and you look at the offensive line and what some healthy bodies and some new, very talented
new
young
juice,
guys
yeah.
Can do for you. So I'm willing to wait and see on Winky, but I don't know, this whole season as far as a quarterback, I mean, really the whole thing's just been an up and down roller coaster with only a few ups.
Hey, you know what, Zach? Zach was especially right on.
What's that?
I hated them before, but that whole game, I hate with like the passion of a thousand burning stars.
Well,
everything about that state, that city, those people, those individuals—they're all terrible people over there. They're all horrible.
Terrible people. Just
they're the worst. The absolute trash of the earth. They're rats. They're poisoned rats.
Whoa.
Sewer creatures.
Whoa.
Worms. Literal worms.
I don't think that's correct.
They are.
Literally?
Look, I hate Florida.
The shapeshift.
I hate Vanderbilt. I hate the Philadelphia Eagles. But all those people, I can at least say, and this is just my opinion, are at least human beings. They're terrible human beings, but at least they're human beings.
Just to clarify, these are Rick Butler's thoughts.
Yes, they are.
They do not reflect the thoughts of Fan Run Radio or myself.
They do they do reflect the thoughts of the Blitz, though.
No, they don't.
And Weston Brown and Brandon Oreck and even Chance Collins.
I agree with you. They're worms.
The people of Alabama fans.
But
rats.
No, I think Zach was right, though. I do. I mean, you kind of forget about it because they, like you said, they just beat you down every year and like, oh yeah, it's Alabama. But then, like, if we could ever get competitive with them again, ooh.
Oh my God, yeah, ooh. Yeah, yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be fun. I hate Florida, but I do hate Alabama more.
It's the arrogance. It's their arrogance.
It is. I like Florida's just dumb. Alabama's arrogant. And also, like I had an ex-girlfriend who went to Alabama. A lot of friends who went to Alabama that I'm no longer friends with. I have so many just terrible ties to Alabama.
Do you think that those people are worms?
My mom would get upset with me if I publicly spoke about anyone's name in that way.
Rick thinks that those people are worms. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. All right. I think slimy worms. I think we have just about exhausted everything that we can say for today. Any other thoughts?
No. I think I can comfortably wrap up the day with saying that they're just a bunch of worms.
All right. Now, hour and a half of Tennessee, Alabama. Let's. I want to talk about the NFL from yesterday. For a little bit, so we'll dive into that on the other side. Listen to the Blitz, Fan Run Radio, getting you ready for Talk Sports coming up at noon. The Candyman, huh?
The Candyman.
Not the 90s horror movie?
Was that a horror movie?
Yeah, you never seen The Candyman?
No. It's not good. So I read this story about this guy. And maybe I'll tell the story. Maybe I'll get a little bit closer to Halloween. But basically, this guy got convicted of 4 counts of attempted murder and 1 murder, all of children under the age of 10. And he was called the Candyman because he did it on Halloween night.
Hmm.
You can obviously probably assume that he used candy to do so.
I need Chance's sad
trombone. It is a freaky story.
I think I've heard the story.
I really want to tell it, but I'm not sure if it's the right time.
Does he get into their stomachs?
Okay. Hey, it's almost lunchtime, Weston. Okay? People are trying to eat lunch.
No, I don't think so.
No. Well, no, Weston. Now's not the time. Well, we're 10 days away from Halloween.
I know. Yeah, I have a bunch of good Halloween-esque true stories to tell on Halloween Day as we sit here in our costumes.
Which
we got to... It's only 10 days till Halloween, bro. We got to get on our costume.
I don't know if they
can. Are we doing a duo costume?
I don't know.
I feel like we should.
I don't know. I don't feel like buying one. I think we should just make one. Just make something up.
Those are never good.
Yes, they are.
Those are never good.
Yes, they are.
Well,
speak for yourself.
Me and my friends go to for Halloween when we got older, and we thought we were still too cool for it. Like, we thought we were way too cool for dressing up, but we still wanted a pillowcase full of free candy. Is we would go as Random Man. That was our out for actually dressing up and thinking we were nerds. We would all go as the Random Men, and our whole costume was just putting on random clothes that looked so stupid. And it was probably so much more stupid than actually just dressing up for something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was dumb.
You should be that for Halloween this year.
Oh, bring back Random Man. Yeah, that's brilliant. That's pretty much what I do every day.
I know. That's what
I just throw on whatever clothes are clean. I can't see the bottom half of me. I could be wearing sweatpants half the time or sleep pants.
I do. Random Man. Is that what you said? Random Man?
No, I said I did it. I don't want to do it again.
You're going to be Random Man, and he's going to be Brandon Man.
Okay, Weston, turn your mic off. It's not funny.
What if I'm
not
Brandon
funny.
Man? Not funny.
Anyway.
No.
Can we just get to the NFL, please?
Funny.
Okay. Sometimes I worry about you. You too. A lot of the times I worry about you.
No.
But, so yesterday, NFL. Rick, I'm sure your big takeaway was the Dallas Cowboys.
No, my biggest takeaway is that the Eagles suck. The worst.
Can you put your biases aside?
No.
And just break down the game?
No.
Fine. I mean, y'all whooped them.
Yeah, I was not expecting, I will say.
Well, I don't.
That was Sunday Night Football last night.
I've almost given up trying to analyze the NFL because just when you think you figure it out, they change the questions.
Yep.
I mean, you think the Eagles are good. They go on the road. They beat the Packers. They beat down the Jets, which, okay.
Their other NFC team did not do that.
But then, no, they did not. But then you lose to the Vikings, and then you get, to quote Rick Butler, thwacked by the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, prime time. I don't know what to make of the Eagles. I don't really know what to make of the Cowboys either. I mean, just last week you lose to the Jets.
I will be honest here. I was working last night, and I had no access to a television until the fourth quarter when the game was already closed. So I haven't even gone back and watched the whole game myself, you know, but my biggest question about this game is, you know, when I do go back and watch it, I want to know if this is a game that Dallas won or that Philadelphia lost. Because there were even a couple plays that, Philadelphia had that were just even uncharacteristic of that team. I'm thinking in the fourth quarter, did you see the video of when Alshon Jeffrey, he had that long bomb to him? And it really looked like he could have extended for it. And he just completely gave up on the play. Like, there were uncharacteristic things. And maybe that was just because it was the fourth quarter. But, you know, I don't even know right now. I think that, you know, maybe Zeke got back into the game. The defense played well. I still think that through all the Cowboys' problems, like, I don't think that Dak has ever been the problem. He has been really the only saving grace of, I believe, what this team is. But, I don't know. You got Philly moving to 3-4 now. I believe I saw a stat yesterday that 3-4 teams make the playoffs 14% of the time. 4-3 teams make it 51% of the time. So that was a big game for both of those teams last night who were, you know, knotted up at 3-3 apiece.
Yeah, I mean,
now the Eagles have a much tougher road.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to come down to those two teams in the NFC East. Giants are done. Redskins suck. But, I mean, none of those – you're not getting a wild card spot if you don't win that division if you're one of those teams, I don't think. Maybe the Cowboys, but I don't see it. I mean, one of those NFC North teams is going to get it, and probably a team from the NFC West if I had to guess. But as far as other games, talk about the Seahawks yesterday. I was very surprised by that one. 30-16, Baltimore goes up to Seattle and beats them. Lamar Jackson continues to impress. I mean, I think the Ravens are another one of those teams where, I mean, they lose to the Browns, but then, I mean, you go on the road and you beat the Seahawks, and Seahawks had been one of the teams we're talking about maybe second, maybe the best team in the NFC. So I don't know what to make of them now. I mean, I still think they're very good. And then yet the 49ers just keep chugging along 6-0. They beat the Redskins 9-0.
And their game was 9-0, but that was a torrential downpour. You know, like that was hard for anybody to really get anything going. That was totally a game on the ground. And I mean, that kind of game I think favors this 49ers team so much because they have an electric defense. They have a good running back, and that's kind of the game that, you know, the type of team you need to grind out one of those games. Hey, to me, there were two games that really stood out to me the most. Actually, I'm going to say there were three teams. Actually, there were way more than three. I don't even know where I'm going to start here.
We'll make it quick.
Okay, so the Saints, unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, to do that against that Bears defense with no Drew Brees and no Alvin Kamara,
Didn't even matter.
That's impressive.
Latavius Murray had 27 carries for 120 yards and two touchdowns. That's no backup numbers. Teddy Bridgewater went 23 of 38 for 281 and two touchdowns. That's no backup numbers. Then you go to the Lions, and I feel for the Lions, man. I think the Lions are the best team to be losers in a while. I think the Lions are a good team. They just can never really stop kind of shooting themselves in the foot. These, like the Vikings. I watched that entire game from start to finish, and it was neck and neck right there until the fourth quarter, and Minnesota just took it away. I think that Minnesota is a better team than we've given them credit for all year, because I think that Kirk Cousins is playing like a new quarterback with a chip on his shoulder with some edge.
He's playing pretty well.
Diggs is great. Thielen goes down, but he's been great. And then the last thing I really wanted to say was, hey, don't sleep on the Cardinals. They'll pull off a huge upset this year. I fully believe it to be true. And I do believe, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm sorry, AFC South fans, the Indianapolis Colts are unquestionably the second best team in the AFC.
I don't know if it's unquestionable.
I'm going to say it.
I mean, I think the Ravens are right there. I think the Ravens are pretty good. I think the Ravens are a good team. I think it goes Patriots, and then it's interchangeable Colts and Ravens for that second spot. I
still have the Chiefs in my third spot.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about the Chiefs. I mean, after those two losses, everybody kind of writes them off. What's Mahomes' injury like?
Yeah.
I think with Mahomes healthy, I think the Chiefs are still the second best team. I do.
Okay, and that's fair, but I think there's a question to be said of, you know, we don't know if Mahomes is going to be fully healthy this whole season. Colts have beaten the Texans, who many people have thought has been one of the AFC's contenders. I agree. And they beat the Chiefs in a game that Patty did not go out early. They just simply beat the Chiefs. Yes, they took that L at the beginning of the year. The Chargers, who cares? They suffered that loss in the middle of it to the Raiders. Not a good loss. But right now you got Broncos, Steelers, Dolphins, Jags up next.
Yeah, they got an easy schedule the next month.
And then Texans, you go back to the Titans. And wow, we haven't even talked about the Titans yet. Close out the season tough, but I do believe right now.
Yeah, but I mean,
the Colts are the second best team in the AFC.
For the Colts, I mean, they can wrap that division up in the next month.
And I think it's about who you beat. And their last two wins have been huge.
And
maybe that's a hot take.
And you avoid the Patriots in the regular season.
Wow, that's big.
I think one of the AFC wildcard teams could be like 8-8.
Yeah, I think that's very possible.
Absolutely. Hey, let's do this. I didn't even realize it's 11:50. Catch a quick break. Final thoughts on just this Monday so far and the whole thing of the weekend. Right after this, you're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Final segment of The Blitz here live on Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio. We pretty much hammered the nail in on Tennessee, Alabama, the vast majority of the show. Did I just say the word majority, or did I not?
No,
I don't think I did.
No, you didn't.
I think I said majority.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I wanted to say the word.
Just to clear up, that's not a word.
No, it's not. Comedic is, though.
It is.
Okay, so I pretty much gave, you know, some of my hot takes from the NFL games last night. Go ahead. You said you had a couple thoughts that you didn't get to mention.
Well, I just, the Titans yesterday, that was a big win by them. Mike Vrabel's an idiot.
I didn't even see the end of this game.
So the Titans were up 23-20.
To 20, right?
And the Titans had the ball about midfield.
Okay.
And the Titans go for it, and it actually kind of looked like he might have got the first down. It was fourth and inches. Looked like Tannehill might have got the first down. Refs ruled that he did not. Comes up short. Where they spotted the ball was actually he lost yards.
Sure. Wow.
And Vrabel did not even challenge. He had at least two, maybe even all three timeouts left. Did not even challenge. If you win the challenge, the game's over. Chargers don't even have a chance. But as it stood, fourth down, turnover on downs.
Wow.
And the Chargers have a real chance, and they go right down the field and get the ball to the one-yard line. And credit to the Titans defense for stepping up. But Mike Vrabel, I'm not even a Titans fan, but come on, what are you doing? Get it together.
Yeah, that's tough. Man, things you hate to see. What are you pointing at?
I didn't even see that from yesterday. The Bills took an onside kick to the house. Who are they playing?
The Dolphins.
Of course,
it's the Dolphins.
Of course.
Yeah.
The Bills are probably going to be a wild card team. I mean, their schedule just sets up that way. They're 5-1, only lost to the Patriots.
They're about to have an easy schedule.
Yeah, the Bills are a lock for a wild card spot in the AFC. And then, like you said, Weston, I think that last one it could be pretty open for a 9-7, 8-8 team.
Let's do this. Let's kind of set up a little bit of what it will look like in the week. Tomorrow, the NBA season starts. Tomorrow. That's huge. NBA was really where the Blitz got to make its money. That was really kind of the first big thing that we talked about when the show was starting. So we are very excited for that. Chance will be back tomorrow. We'll have a good little NBA kind of preview segment at some point during the second half of that show. Get you ready for the NBA season. And then maybe later at some point this week we'll talk about, you know, what we'll go back and look at our playoff predictions for the NFL. See where, you know, if we could change some of those, what we might do. But, of course, the big storyline this entire week will certainly be the fallout from Tennessee, Alabama, and then looking ahead to South Carolina.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk any college football besides Tennessee, Alabama today.
No, I do. And it was a pretty good weekend in college sports.
It was.
College football.
We'll start there tomorrow. We'll get you ready for Tennessee, South Carolina. We'll do it all then. We'll see you then. We'll see you there. Talk sports coming up next. For Brandon, for Weston, and for myself, Rick Butler, you've been listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio.